Morning. Do you know, as I was just looking at the Advent candles, a verse came to me from the prophet Isaiah, where God says about his Messiah who's coming, he's not going to snuff out a smouldering wick. And I just think God might want to say to someone, if you think, I'm just about to go out. You probably know the Elton John song, Candle in the Wind. And I just felt, some of you perhaps felt you're in a hurricane and your light is about to be extinguished. God says, no, that's not the trajectory I have for you. That there's going to be more candles, there will be more light, and the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. And I hope that you'll know the encouragement of God this morning. If you feel you would like some prayer at the end of the service, it's all part of the service. You don't have to pay more. Just come up and ask, and Katie or I or others would be really glad to pray with you. I want to tell you a story. How many of you, when I say that, think of Frankie Howard? It's a generational thing. If you don't know who Frankie Howard is, you're fine. The Christmas story. Long ago, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a little girl called Mary. She lived in a little village in the hills. One day, God sent the angel Gabriel to Mary. "Don't be afraid," he said. "God is pleased with you. God is going to give you a very special baby," said the angel, "and you must call him..." Oh, you know the story. Okay, never mind. Then the angel disappeared. Mary was very happy. She sang a song to thank God. Now, Mary was to marry Joseph, the village carpenter. And they began to get ready for the baby. It was almost time for Mary's baby to be born, but then the governor of the country decided to count all the people. Do we like poll taxes? This is the question. So, sorry, that's not in the script. I just put that in and I immediately regretted it. So Mary and Joseph had to go on a long, long journey to Bethlehem to be counted. When at last they arrived in Bethlehem, Mary was very tired. They knocked at the door of an inn. "No room," said the man. So they had to sleep in the stable. That night, with the donkey and the cows standing close, Mary's baby boy, Jesus, was born. In the fields nearby, shepherds were looking after their sheep. Suddenly, an angel appeared. The shepherds were scared. "Don't be afraid," said the angel. "Tonight, a special baby has been born in Bethlehem. He will save his people." Then a crowd of angels filled the sky, singing, "Praise God in heaven." The angels disappeared as quickly as they'd come, and it was all dark again. The shepherds rushed off into Bethlehem. They had to find the new baby. The shepherds soon found Mary and Joseph in the stable and baby Jesus lying in a manger. At the time that Jesus was born, in a far country, wise men were looking at the night sky. "Look," said one, "I've never seen that star before." "It means a new king has been born," said a second. "We must follow the star and find him," said a third wise man. So the wise men set out on a long, hard journey, following the star by night. When they arrived in Judea, they went straight to King Herod's palace. But the new King Jesus was not there. At last, the star stopped over Bethlehem. As soon as they saw little Jesus, the wise men knelt down. They knew he was the new king, and they gave him rich presents. Gold. God, you're really good today. And so each year, we remember that first Christmas when Jesus was born in a stable. We give each other presents, just as the wise men gave presents to Jesus, just as God sent Jesus as the best gift of all. Did you know the story then? Of course, there's two ways of knowing a story. You've got the book, and then there's you know it. Actually, it's part of your own experience. I became an English teacher, but as a child, I was a really slow reader. I found it really difficult. And in fact, when some of my teachers, when I became a teacher in the grammar school many years later, teachers from my other school, my own school, where I'd grown up, laughed. They couldn't believe how standards had dropped. Well, they didn't say that, but it was pretty much implied. But I know as a child, when my mum, who was, bless her, very good at reading stories, even though I couldn't read, I'd know where we were in the narrative because it was sort of in here and in here. I wonder what sort of narrative it is for you, the Christmas story. I mean, it was lovely having those early photographs of the story. But where is it? Is it in a book? I know sometimes people, when they're baptized or confirmed or make a commitment to God, are given a Bible. I love it if that falls apart really quickly. I was given a Bible when I was young, and it fell apart because I read it so much. So if you want to read your Bible, you could end up like me. Be careful. Thinking, what else could go wrong? But genuinely, knowing not just the book, but the author and the person within it. And I just want to say, there's one more slide here about the Christmas story. A verse from the book, the Bible, that I'd like to share. You probably know it anyway. It's from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. And it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So a sign of love is giving. And what's pretty neat this morning, quite a lot of you have given and you don't even know who's going to get it. There's some things I've got my eye on, but Katie made me promise I wouldn't. So those are going to go to people you probably won't know and will probably never meet. That's a cool thing. It's a really good thing, a generous thing to give to those who you don't know and who can never repay. It says in Proverbs, whoever gives to the poor lends to the Lord. That's a nice thing to have on your CV, don't you think? I was able to lend to God like he needs it. But God counts it. My dad was a blood donor. He gave 50 pints. I don't think it was all in one hit. I mean, I think it was over the years. And he got a little medal in his book to say he'd done it. And what we believe as followers of Jesus is that God, in Jesus, has a book with all the names, all the donations, and that your name is in it. If you love Jesus, if you follow him, your name is written in his book, the book of life. And if that's a reality, it's not a story just written down in a book at home. It's something written in your heart. It's written in your head. God so loved the world that he gave. Now, I had some odd relatives. Any of you got odd relatives? If you're sitting next to them, don't wave. We always have relatives to stay at Christmas. Pigs in blankets, my wife calls them. No, that's not true. That's not true. But sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I am in so much trouble now. But you know, I had when I was growing up, some aunts and uncles who gave me crazy gifts for a child, almost as mad as gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I mean, what kind of gift is that for a kid? But they give me things I didn't want. But I also know the feeling of when I was a dad and my children were given gifts, and I'd hear them say, "Is that all?" It doesn't inspire confidence to generosity somehow, does it? You ungrateful, you know, dot, dot, dot. But God has given a gift that some people don't want, but I hope you do. God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that we could have life, that we could know him. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, you're probably not alone in that. But I hope you'll find, you'd have a conversation to find out, how can we say yes? And if you're given a present, you hold out your hands and say thank you. And that's what it is to be a follower of Jesus. We hold out our hands and we say thank you so much for your gift of life. Your gift of life. God so loved the world, and that includes you. That's why Jesus came. That's why we give presents, because Jesus is the best gift. And I hope you'll know how to hold out your hands and say thank you to God, because it's changed my life for the better.